Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weejay Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weejay Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EZMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week, along with the lowest price certifications in town. You'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Oh, good morning.
Welcome. Good morning, everyone.
Wednesday. Hey, Cannabis Kid, how are you?
I'm doing good, Belsa. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually, this is kind of an interesting little studio setup we have here. I'm in Napa, California.
We're so far away from each other.
I know, and it just, it's not right. It's just not right. I need to be like...
No, it's very strange doing it from my living room. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I know. I'm, and you want to know what's strange is, okay, I will tell you, I'm sitting in my childhood best friend's home in their computer room, smoking pot, drinking coffee, and having a radio show. And I feel like this is awesome. I feel like I'm doing something wrong, and it's really fun. I feel like I'm back in high school again. Oh, it's fantastic. But I'm here on not such a good visit. My best friend's dad was diagnosed with cancer just very recently, and not a good one. And we love you, Mr. Allen. We love the Allen family, and we're praying for all you guys. And we're with you. And I've seen some very interesting thing. I've been sleeping in the hospital the last couple of days with my pal, and I've seen some interesting things in the hospital. You know me. I can't not talk about my cannabis. I just love my marijuana. And so there was a nurse that had come in, and she had told her about the business, and I knew her from long ago, high school friend, small town, you run into everyone when you go anywhere. And she started to have this little flashback of a story of when she was 10 years old, and her mom was driving, drinking martinis,
what?
And smoking pot. Right. Drinking martinis and driving and smoking pot. So she was laughing and telling the story, but the negative part of the story was the smoking pot part, not the drinking martinis and driving, which I thought was really very interesting in this day and age. Fascinating, actually. But anyway, just, we've got to change these attitudes. Even she's very young, and I was surprised to hear her attitude towards alcohol being... It was okay to, maybe not it was okay to drink and drive, but alcohol is certainly a better choice. And it was kind of a shocking revelation in that moment that there are still so many people, even in the medical world, that because our country says that alcohol is okay and has for so long, even though it kills thousands of people and ruins lives and causes accidents and havoc, alcohol is okay, right? But I told them, I said, it's going to be funny, not really, but funny. In a couple of years, our government's going to come out and say, okay, cannabis is good for you, and then everyone's going to use it. And yeah. I just can't wait for that because there are so many people suffering right now that have this stigma in their mind that even hemp is bad for them. You can go down to Whole Foods or Safeway and buy hemp. You can get it in your cereal. You can get little happy hemp hearts and put it in your smoothies. I mean, this is a product, hemp, that's totally legal, and still, people would choose pharmaceuticals over a natural plant. It just surprises me. It shocks me still. But it's good because that means there's still, you know, a lot to learn and a lot to share with the world. And look at Minnesota, our 22nd state to go medical. Woo! I know, it's awesome.
Well,
what you got going on over there, Cannabis Kid?
Well, I heard you talking about the whole stigma about cannabis and, you know, how we're still overcoming those things. And I had a friend who just visited Denver for the first, well, not for the first time, but for the first time since they've had recreational cannabis for sale to tourists and anyone who lived there. And she was telling me the story about it last night, and she was saying, you know, you walk in, it's a dispensary, they look at your IDs, they card you like you're going into a club. And if you have your medical cannabis card, you are then processed in a different way, and you are taken into a different side of the dispensary.
Really?
Recreational is taken to another side of the dispensary. And this was just the one that was set up, how this one was set up when she went in. Of course, if you are a recreational user, you are allowed to use, if you are 21 and over, the state tax on state residents is a lot less than if you're a tourist coming into town and buying. So they have different tax brackets for who it is and who's purchasing the cannabis. But and then on the other side, for people who are using it for medicinal wise, the THC tends to be higher over in the medicinal side. Yeah. Huh. We said it was just really interesting how they had it done. And she ended up having her friend who lives there buy everything. So it was, you know, the tax wasn't so high. Right? I totally understand that. She said it was really fun going in with her friends and smelling the different kinds of cannabis strains and picking ones which attributes would fit them for the night, you know, like so that we got some indica, some sativas, and some hybrids. Nothing too heavy, they said, but they were able to smell everything. She said it was like a candy store, and I said yes.
Yeah.
There's lots of different things to choose from. It's an adult candy store, but I think the more she was. So this is how I was getting into this story. You were talking about how people talk about it with a stigma behind it. Well, now in Colorado, people are talking about it more with, you know, nonchalantly. You know, they don't even think about it anymore. It's not such a thing that taboo that's not talked about. People are talking about how, you know, like, she was talking about she went to get her hair done. And one of the girls was doing her hair, and she was talking to her about how her dog got into her pot and ate all the nugs.
Smart
you know,
dog.
Right. And so there's just a lot more acceptance about it. I think especially in a state that has it legalized for recreational and medicinal, that it really allows people to come out and start just being okay with it. So I think that's really where we have to start.
Yes. Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So, why in the world, if there is a recreational side, would you limit the amount of THC? Because as our Dr. Lester Grinspoon says, there is medicinal, there's recreational, and what else did he say? There was a like a transcendence. I mean, there is a, you know, the THC gets you high. It's that kind of a feeling. It's a psychoactive feeling that people want. Why would you limit that in a recreational side? Answer me that. Reel me that.
Well, I think this is a new thing that they're trying out, and I think they're using the higher THC so they can have these two kind of programs for people who are in lots of pain. And we know that THC helps out with pain, the high CBD helps out with pain. So if someone wanted, they could still use the, you know, the products that are out there and available for them. You know, it's the same with the alcohol limit. In some states, you don't get the larger alcohol limit, and you have to go to the state next door to get, you know, your harder liquor. you know.
Interesting. Okay.
It's creating kind of a, I guess, kind of a balance in a way where you have your recreational users and your medicinal.
But I also argue the point that if you look and let's say you go down to Tumbleweed's Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103 in the back, you can get certified for just $85 and only $65 if it's a renewal. Hello?
That's
least
awesome.
Expensive in town. Best in town. So studies show that we know THC is good for your high, your euphoria feeling. It can cause anxiety and all sorts of adverse effects if you do too much. So I see why they may want to limit it. However, why would you limit something that's helpful in controlling pain, helps with relaxation, suppresses pain from nerve damage, helps reduce the risk of nerve damage, helps control anxiety, suppresses muscle spasms and convulsions, helps control certain cancers, helps with nausea, slows inflammation, helps fight free radicals in the bloodstream. It encourages eating and appetite stimulation. It stimulates new growth in nerve tissue. It relieves chronic eye pressure and pain caused from glaucoma and other eye disorders, just to mention a few things. All I'm saying, I'm not saying, but all I'm saying is THC is awesome.
I understand that.
Let them have it in the book. We're going to play good cop, bad cop. I think I'm happy.
You know what? It's also a side where you can say it's not by very much the THC variations from recreational to medicinal are not by very much. I think anything over 20 is considered medicinal, and anything under 20 is considered recreational.
Wow.
It's by a couple percentage, you know. It's by a lot.
I don't know. Here we go labeling things. Now we're labeling THC. Well, it's awesome. And I love the fact that Minnesota just jumped on board. And we in the next 3 to 5 years, we are going to see just this huge shift in not only what our government's going to do, but what the people of America are going to start believing. You know, it's amazing the power the government has. You can see the effects right in front of you, and someone will still say, no, 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 that's illegal. All righty then. Did you hear about this one? I'm in Culture Magazine. Do you have the latest Culture Magazine?
Is it the new one?
Yes, brand spanking new.
I don't have it.
The persistent punks are on the cover. Okay, well, you can go if you don't have it. I suggest you do it. The Cannabis Kid and I usually do. Anyway, even when we do have it, we go to iReadCulture.com and we check it out online. But we like the By the Numbers pages, which are on page 8 and 9. But this is interesting, and this is the whole I'm scared of marijuana attitude that we're gonna change. Cannabis Kid and I are going to change it, right?
Right. I got it.
He went to go grab the bong, let's be honest. Okay.
No, I got the Consumer Magazine.
Okay. Medical cannabis dispensary fights to raise money for charity. So few charities would turn down money donated to a good cause, but apparently some organizations in Arizona have refused to take donations from a local dispensary. One medical cannabis dispensary hosted a charity event to raise money for conditions that are qualified for use with cannabis. Arizona has reached milestone revenue and medical cannabis usage over the past year. However, all but one charity agreed to receive the money. Fortunately, wow. There was one organization, National Multiple Sclerosis Society's Arizona chapter, agreed to work with the dispensary. And they ended up raising $6,000 for a donation. As long as we're Schedule I drug, people are horrified to deal with it, and it's unfortunate, and we're hoping that will change soon, stated dispensary owner Cindy Abbott. However, Abbott is positive that those organizations will soon be happy to accept charity donations from dispensaries. We'll keep going, and we'll keep chugging along and talking to different organizations about the hope that we have in changing them. It's a constant move going forward in that. It's a challenge, you know, and this is, like I said, our country, well, a lot of the world has been brainwashed about just this in particular. I won't go anywhere else. But,
I don't know if it's just, are you there?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just the stigma still behind the cannabis for with some of these ailments.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also organizations, nonprofit organizations that receive money from the federal government. So when they of working with a dispensary who mm-hmm. is not federally recognized,
right.
working with a nonprofit organization that is federally recognized, and they probably feel that they're putting a lot at stake by
they're jeopardizing their organization's
exactly.
funding, right? So they can't do that. So that's understandable, but. Sad, you know, that
and it might not be the reason, but it's
certainly a consideration, I'm sure.
Right, exactly.
Did you hear that in Arizona a judge ordered to add PTSD to the medical marijuana program? And I am reading this on azmarijuana.com. I'm going to read this. Judge Thomas Shedden recently issued a ruling saying that a preponderance of evidence shows medical marijuana provides palliative benefit to those suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. This ruling will now get passed on to Will Humble, director of the American Department of Health Services. Humble has until July 9, 2014 to accept or appeal the judge's ruling. Jessica Galay, policy coordinator for the Drug Policy Alliance, said that veterans and all people who have suffered from serious trauma and violence deserve the freedom to choose the safest treatment for their debilitating conditions. When our veterans come home, they deserve access to the medicine that works for them. And I want to say, along with veterans, you know, what my best friend's going through right now is going to cause a little PTSD, I'm sure. And a lot of America and a lot of this world has PTSD from just surviving their lives. And
right.
It is so true. They need the choice to be able to choose the safest treatment. And if they consider cannabis their safest option, that must be an option. Arizona has over 530,000 veterans, ranking it 13th among states with the largest population of veterans. The judicial ruling puts Arizona on its way to becoming the 12th state to make PTSD a qualifying condition for medical marijuana. Recent evidence from studies in Israel show that marijuana is effective for combat veterans experiencing symptoms of PTSD. Dr. Sue Sisley of the University of Arizona is the principal investigator in a proposed study that is looking at the effects of medical marijuana on combat veterans suffering from PTSD. 22 veterans a day are killing themselves, said Dr. Sue Sisley, and many of these veterans are not benefiting from conventional medicines, and some find their syndrome is worsened by standard medications and the practice of polypharmacy. Dr. Sisley's study was recently approved by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services after a 3-year delay. Wow. That's awesome, because I can't tell you how many people go to Tumbleweeds Health Center that need cannabis for PTSD, and they can't have it. They can't have it. And it's very sad because veterans and just humans alike, everybody, we all experience trauma. And if we choose cannabis, that should be our right, not our government's right, telling us how to take care of our bodies. I had the fortune of interpreting for Barack Obama on his campaign trail once. I didn't even get to meet him. So how is he the judge of my body and what I put in it? I don't tell him he has to go eat Fruit Loops every morning, so he can't tell me I can't have my cannabis Wheaties.
But we also know that it's not him making that decision, that it is the FDA.
No, the government. I'm saying the government, he represents the government. The government in general has no right to tell me what to do with my body. They don't know me. So there you have it. What you got?
There you have it.
Kid?
Well, I have by the numbers. And
a
little bit of information that's here in the state of Arizona. So it's 1.6 is the percentage of Arizona citizens who are medical cannabis cardholders. We have
1.6 citizens. That's a lot. I clapped for that. I'm the only one clapping over here.
You are. But I'm clapping too. We have 2.5, the amount of cannabis in ounces that patients can receive per week. So 2.5 ounces.
Every week?
Once a week. Receive per week. The amount of cannabis in ounces that patients can receive per week.
Okay.
What do you...
That's a pretty good amount.
A pretty good week of supply of medicine.
Yeah, you could cook a whole lot of brownies with that.
We got 2,381, the number of residents in Mojave County who are registered cardholders. That's just in that small county.
Probably 3,000 residents, right? I'm just kidding.
Out of 3,000 residents. I think it's a little bit more than that.
At least
we've got 70. The estimated worth of the cannabis market, defined by millions of dollars. So,
$42.19
Yeah.
You're gonna have to read that number one again.
The number of participants who will be studied in the multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies.
Yeah.
Cannabis research at the University of Arizona. So there will be 70 of them.
Did you know that you yourself can participate in these marijuana studies? If you go online to azdhs.gov, there's a clinical trial section. You can get signed right up. You can go in there and pick if you want to be a part of the trials. You can see what trials are current, what trials have ended, some results. It's very interesting, but at the very least, get signed up on the email list, and you can actually get to be one of these 70 participants studying the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. I want to go.
Yeah, I want to be a...
I want to get psychedelic. All right.
So did they find out who is going to be... whose meds they're going to be using, and is it are they specifically, I'm guessing, for PTSD?
Well, it says psychedelic studies. I don't know. You know what? I bet it's...
Happy weed?
Well, I don't know. Since it's at the University of Arizona, I doubt the government is going to send them even an ounce of their 1,000 pounds they just ordered. So I don't know where they're going to get it. They can try mine. They can handle it.
I have a little bit of bubble gum this morning.
Nice. I'm on the morning blend, which is bubble gum, skunk number one. Oh, I don't know.
That's right. You mix them all together.
Gosh, it's morning pool blend. I need to be by a pool. Oh, there's a pool outside, in fact. All right. What else you got in the numbers?
Oh, we've got...
Drumroll.
10, the number of dispensaries that are proposed to open in Nevada.
Oh. 10?
So, 10 for right now. I know that they said as things get, you know, how we started out slow and then everything started popping up. So.
Yeah. Yep.
And most of those are probably going to be on the Strip.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
Maybe in the casino.
Right.
Could you imagine?
You know.
Oh, man, that's going to be
interesting.
I'll go play in that casino in that specific smoke room.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to be a specific area where you can actually go gamble and smoke.
They're going to have, well, if they're going to, well, I bet you they'll just let everyone smoke, the smokers, the cannabis users, you know.
I don't think so, because you're allowing it to be in the air, and there's still children who...
Somebody could get a little happy. Ooh.
Right.
Because you're happy.
They could get a contact at high, and people might, freak out.
I know. That's true. We don't want any freak outs at the casino.
No, we don't.
All right.
Here is the estimated, 36 is the estimated amount of tax revenue in millions of dollars that Maine would earn per year if cannabis was legalized. 36 million. Yeah.
Did you know Portland, Maine, decriminalized it? For their city.
Mm.
I think there's a couple places, a couple cities in Maine that actually decriminalize it. Pretty cool. What else you got?
And I've got 300. The distance in feet that dispensaries in Albany, New York must be located away from residential neighborhoods and office businesses
300 feet. Wow.
From an
And office businesses.
Wow.
This distance is in feet. That difference, dispensaries in Albany, New York, must be located away from residential neighborhoods and office businesses.
Well, what, that puts them in the middle of nowhere. So
right.
Okay, so, but do they consider the industrial parts of town, you know, where all the warehouses, I mean, is that an office business? Can they go over there? Like, come on.
I want to
hear some of
that.
Yeah.
I think what they're meaning is, like, actual office businesses, like,
hey, they can park next
telemarketers.
We're office.
I'm sure. I know.
Come on.
I don't know. That's, you know, if they were at the beginning of all of these laws being made in all these different states, it's almost like they have to all work out their kinks.
Yeah.
And the personalities that are making these decisions. So everyone's got a different kind of outlook on how cannabis should be distributed to the masses.
Well,
because of their own inside, you know, how they feel about cannabis.
Right.
So they all have the magic idea, the best idea, until, you know, things start working and they might have to tweak some things and do a little more research and find out what other people are needing. I think Arizona is doing a really good job about that, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know who does a really good job of spreading the word?
Who?
My pop song.
Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up, I got some good pot, I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop, ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty, my friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey, rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time, dominating all my friends, as I eat some chili fries, draped in a snuggie with my girl sitting next to me, probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea, but shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pizzas are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcano.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peep game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to pull those gloves.
Relentless rules are nothing more than proper wisdom. Let them know war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna spend some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a black shop. This is fucking awesome.
Woo! Welcome back to Weed Say Wednesday. Did y'all listen
Hello,
to
Hello, everyone.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, what's going on?
Not much.
No? You know what's going on in the federal government?
What is going on in the federal government?
They ordered 1,000 pounds of cannabis. Can you believe
From
it?
From who?
Well, I'm going to just let you know about that. But would you, is that like the ultimate dream? Just wake up and be like, what am I going to do today? I think I'll order 1,000 pounds of marijuana. What a great day. Okay. In response to the request of the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA, the federal government increased the amount of ordered cannabis. The cultivation, production, and distribution of cannabis at the University of Mississippi is overseen by NIDA, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, and recently notified the DEA that it required additional supplies of marijuana to be manufactured in 2014 to provide for current and anticipated research efforts involving marijuana, stated a recent Federal Register's report from the DEA. Although under federal law, cannabis remains illegal and still classified as Schedule 1, a total of 22 states have legalized cannabis for medical use. Woo! And recreational use is legal now in Colorado and Washington. The trend of the federal government of focusing on the possible negative effects of the substance is changing. More than 500 grants for cannabis research projects have received approval since 2003, with further increase in recent years. The NIDA has managed about 30 researchers on the possible benefits of the herb, which also marks a growth of interest that the federal government has with the substance. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
We're going to order up 1,000. Who's going to smoke all 1,000 pounds of that, I wonder? Ooh.
Well, you know, the other thing is it that same kind of cannabis that they're giving out to all their, the government's, is it a low quality? Is it low THC? Is it really going to have the effect on these people that it really needs to have with what the stuff that's actually out there?
Well,
that's the other thing. Are they using the right kinds of strains, the right kind of levels? Are they having their stuff tested? You know, these are all the things that they're wanting the whole country to do, but yet, you know, they're still handling their product like it's a weed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in the news, as you were saying, Mr. Irvin Rosenfeld, who receives 300 joints every month from our government. Well, in fact, every 25 days now, he probably gets an extra couple hundred in the year there now. He just recently brought a canister filled with the joints before the Pennsylvania Senate Law and Justice Committee. Want to hear about this?
Yes.
During the last 32 years, stockbroker Irvin Rosenfeld has smoked over 130,000 marijuana
cigarettes.
Oh, my God. The federal government's blessing, amen, as jaws dropped in a Harrisburg legislative chamber filled with state senators, Rosenfeld made the remark Tuesday and then held up a silver canister containing 300 pre-rolled joints from yours truly, the federal government. And that's just the month's supply. He continues to receive the canisters from a government-authorized farm in Mississippi to help treat a rare bone tumor disorder. This despite the drug's classification by the Drug Enforcement Administration as a top-tier hazardous substance with no medical value. I'm living proof of the federal government. Rosenfeld, who lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, told the Law and Justice Committee, which is considering a bill to legalize medical marijuana. If the bill is fast-tracked, some senators said they want it released to the floor by the end of the month. Pennsylvania would vie with several other states to become the 23rd to allow cannabis to be sold for medical purpose. New Jersey has They've had a stumbling marijuana program since 2010, and Delaware is in the process of implementing one. Florida is among several states where voters will decide the issue in ballot initiatives this year. Rosenfeld is also actively lobbying for the medical marijuana referendum in his state. Polls show 66% of the state's voters favor it. But the worry is that a re-election victory by Republican Governor Rick Scott would undo the effort. Scott will do the same thing as Governor Christie did in New Jersey, he said in an interview, adding that overly strict regulations have excluded many sick people from getting access to cannabis. We'll end up with only 4 dispensaries around the state and only 3 strains that are allowed. Wow. Rosenfeld is one of 2 federal medical marijuana patients nationwide. Republican Senator Mike Fulmer, a sponsor of the bill in Harrisburg, had invited him to testify. Fulmer said he wanted the committee to be educated about medical marijuana. Well, and you know what? If you go down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, you can actually go see one of those tins. They're really cool. And you can check it out, look inside, kind of smell the bad quality of stuff they send to me. He said it's not very strong. It's like less than 3% THC, but it keeps him alive and it keeps us here, and we love Urban.
Woo! Yeah. I know. It's so surprising. He was talking about the consistency of the cannabis that he gets. And it just doesn't sound good at all. And I don't see how, you know, and it's amazing that it works for him.
Well,
from
and that's
the amount, he says 3% THC is in there?
Yep, that's the amazing power of cannabis, though. A little goes a long way. What do they say?
Yep.
A little dab will do you?
Yep. A little dab will do you. Well, here I have an article. This is from High Times. This is The Clinic, and it's an article written that they do every month, and it's a special thing that they do. It's called The Clinic. Marijuana changes the brain, but for better or for worse? So it says, does marijuana use change the brain? Longtime enthusiastic users and government-funded scientists both say yes, but they tend to disagree on whether or not it is a good thing. Anytime you find that there's a relationship to the amount of marijuana consumed and the differences of core brain regions involved in processing rewards, making decisions, and the ability to assess emotions, that is a serious issue, according to Dr. Hans Bedertree, professor of psychiatry and behavioral science at Northwest University in Swinburne School of Medicine. The doctor is also the co-author of a new study published today in the peer-reviewed Journal of Neuroscience that showed 2 important neural regions related to emotion and motivation became abnormally large in subjects who repeatedly smoked cannabis. An effort the authors called the first study to show cause of marijuana is related to major brain changes. Combining experts from, that's pretty crazy. So they said that it just enlarges, it gets abnormally large in that area. So, and this is the area that is related to emotion and motivation. Combining experts from Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School, the research team relied on the MRI images to measure change in the size and shape of the nucleus accumbens in the brain of 40 students aged 18 to 25. 20 recreational cannabis smokers and 20 non-users. Those in the smoking category reported consuming a mean of 11 joints per week. When we saw that they were constant abnormal and that it was directly related to the amount of cannabis one took, it gave us some significant pause. The doctor said seeing these differences raises cautionary flags that we need to do more research. Fair enough. But then again, when have you ever heard a professional researcher not call for more research? And more importantly, while the study's authors described these changes as damage they also admit that the ramifications of these changes remain unknown. So they're not sure if those areas that are getting large when using cannabis are a good thing or a bad thing. And, well, we know a lot of people that have used this this plant for a very long time, and you see people who are very motivated when they use cannabis. They get on it. Sometimes it treats people's ADD, so the motivation, the concentration that this plant has on the brain and doing those things is very important. And it says, hints for more research. The marijuana community. Sorry, let me get a glass of water. Meanwhile, with the counter that research is on marijuana in the brains of young adults has been going on informally and often illegally for thousands of years with little or no apparent cause for concern. Meanwhile, the U.S. federal government itself holds a patent on the use of cannabinoids, the compounds found in cannabis, as a neuroprotectant, meaning that marijuana protects the brain. And since the patient explains that cannabinoids are found to have particular applications as neuroprotectants, for example, in limiting neurological damage following any shamanic insults, such as a stroke and trauma, or the treatment of a neurodegenerative disease, such as Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and HIV dementia.
Wow.
Many users, meanwhile, report that smoking marijuana has a positive effect on their emotional health, a possibility that the research team appears not to have considered. So, yes, let's have more research. So as long as we are open to the idea that cannabis just might change the brain in ways that we need changing.
Absolutely.
How about that?
That's awesome. That's why in the NFL, they're a lot more lenient these days about cannabis use for all their the head injuries. Hello? They're cracking
right.
Helmets left and right, and this is a wonderful neuroprotectant, but you kind of have to limit the amount of head cracking you do, you know, if you want to be really
Well, more than anything, they also talked about cannabis being a great neuroprotectant for just a preventative disease. Like if you drink, it actually protects the brain from the alcohol. They're talking how it protects the liver from the alcohol when you drink it, if you're a regular cannabis user. It just does a lot of things. It's almost like your multivitamin, if you want to think about it that way.
I
know we say this a lot, but it is a wonder plant. It really does a lot of things in so many different ways that you don't have to smoke it. You can eat it. You can cook with it. You can add the hemp oil to foods, salad dressings. Any way that you're getting cannabis and the cannabinoids into the body helps you.
That's right.
So,
amen to that one.
You know, the receptors in your body are wanting those. Your cannabinoids, a lot of people's cannabinoid, endocannabinoid system has not been up and running for quite some time. And this is where we're getting a lot of those.
It's like not taking your vitamins. You know,
right.
You're not complete. You need to be, this is your complete multivitamin.
We're getting autoimmune diseases where the immune system is being overrun and in some cases being underrun. Respiratory system. Right. The nervous system. I mean, we're talking about this plant has capabilities of helping in each one of those systems just by regulating its own system. By getting cannabinoids in the system.
That's right. And it is so good. We've heard firsthand one-on-one experience and have seen 24-hour turnarounds in people with Crohn's, neuropathy, seizures, pain, fibromyalgia, migraines. People come in, they get certified, they come back, and they're happier, better, stronger people. They look younger. It's amazing. Hey, I want to take a quick moment, and I want to give a shout-out to our online bloggers and an awesome round of applause. Hello, Mad Dog and Woo. Sky and I. Mad Dog's a new listener, and Cyanide is one of our long-timers from the Netherlands who tunes in during his work week and sends us photos and interesting news facts. And we're so honored to have this radio show, and even more honored that you all show up. We love it. So thank you very much for the shout-outs and for hanging out with us. It's really, really awesome.
We enjoy our listeners, that's for sure. If we didn't have listeners, we wouldn't...
We'd be talking in the room by ourselves.
Me and you. Me and you, Belle.
Just chilling it, kid. Just chilling it. there is a cannabis law that... I'm going back to Culture Magazine because this is just great. Around the world, because we do world news as well as local, cannabis laws are eased in Bermuda, if they can find you on the boat, right? cannabis legislation, or legalization for medical purposes and decriminalization of personal use was recently endorsed by the government of Bermuda, which lies off the east coast of the United States in the Atlantic Ocean. Drug laws were reviewed by the Cannabis Reform Collaborative that reported that prosecutions for nonviolent offenses related to cannabis are overwhelming the criminal justice system and excessively target non-white and immigrant populations. It supports the cancellation of penalties for cannabis possession, encouraging ultimate legalization for people over 21, and changing the drinking age from 18 to 21, treating the two substances, alcohol and cannabis, equally. A report from the Cannabis Reform Collaborative was submitted to the National Assembly by National Security Minister Michael Dunkley to urge legislators to consider its recommendations. Although Bermuda's estimated 65,000 population is socially conservative society, Stratton Hatfield, the chairman of the Cannabis Reform Collaborative, strongly believes in public support for change. All right, Bermuda.
That's awesome. You know, Belle, you bring this up about the legalization and the ages which the groups are allowed to take part in these recreational products, the cannabis and the alcohol. And I actually saw a thing, it's a petition that's going around right now, and they're wanting to lower the age of drinking to 18. And I just can't see that working. You know, I still think that there's an age difference between 18 and 21 where you learn a lot of things, and you become an adult kind of in those years. You do a lot of growing up. And I don't think when you turn 18, you're quite there for recreational products that are out on the market that kind of... I do agree that there are some 18-year-olds out there that are handling stress. But I think...
People use alcohol in the wrong way.
Correct.
You know, they try to cover feelings and emotions and situations and problems that... You know, they end up blaming the alcohol for, and we all know it's not the alcohol, it's what's going on underneath. So
correct.
Alcohol's strong, and I'm with the people that want, you know, cannabis and alcohol 21 and over, and if your doctor recommends cannabis use for under 21, that's fine. I'm about whatever.
I agree. If you just got back from war, or, you know, if you have PTSD, things like that, where you are a qualifying patient, and you're using this as medicine, but I do not think, as far as recreational yet, I think it should be a 21 and over.
These are just the opinions of Belle Star and the Cannabis Kid, not actual facts.
Yeah.
All right, so, we just throw our opinions out there, and you can agree or disagree. Guess what I have?
What do you have?
For the Allen family, I have a trivia question. It's a Dodgers trivia question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
In which game, this is for Mr. Allen, who's a huge Dodger fan, in which game of the 1956 World Series did Don Larson throw his perfect game? And I'm not going to answer it because we're going to see if the Allens are listening, and they're going to tell me. I know what it is.
I'm not going to answer it either.
Okay, we're going to say it again. Dodgers, all you Dodger fans, in which game of the 1956 World Series did Don Larson throw his perfect game? Ow! You guys figure that one out.
I don't even know.
Boy. Wow. So listen to this. Arizona recently announced that the state has officially issued over 50,000 medical cannabis cards. Woo! With more Arizonans becoming medical cannabis patients, interest and awareness by public continues to enlarge. AZMarijuana.com stated, over the past year, the website recorded a high increase of viewers checking for important information regarding local doctors, news, and dispensaries, among more details. The money alone it takes to purchase a patient card, which is $150 to the state of Arizona, amounts to over $7.5 million in revenue alone. According to the Hemp American Media Group, these numbers are expected to increase even more over the course of 2014. Sweet. That's awesome.
That really is awesome.
The more people that go get certified, the more the world sees and is validated in this need for this plant. So come down. Mm-hmm. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. You can call 520-838-4430. You can make an appointment online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. You can check out our radio show from there. And if y'all didn't know, our radio show is on iTunes. You can check out our past episodes on iTunes, at blogtalkradio.com, at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Check it out and get educated. We love it. We love to educate around here. Ain't that right?
So another thing that you were talking about is, you know, people that are using cannabis right now and you don't have your card and you do fall into one of those debilitating conditions
yeah.
that are out there, I really highly recommend you looking into getting your card. Having your card is as a sense of protection. You're self-medicating right now. If you got in trouble for any reason, you would be in trouble. Having your card gives you this, I don't even know how to call it, but what would you say? It gives you a way out. I mean, it gives you a sense of showing the person who the police officer or anyone like that you've gone through the process, you're working with a doctor.
That you're complying with state laws, that you're a good citizen, that you're paying your taxes, and you're supporting your state. Seriously, you're doing all that with your medical marijuana card. You're showing all that. And I tell you, it's like having a tiny little lawyer, instant lawyer, in your pocket. You get pulled over, you know, don't be dumb. Don't drive with your 2.5 ounces. Okay, keep it home.
Right.
If you have to transport your medicine, put it in a, you know, skunk bag, which you can get at Tumbleweeds Health Center for $10. Put it in the trunk. Lock it up. You know, don't smoke and then get in the car and drive if it affects you in any way, shape, or form. Some people can do that. They're just fine. Some people cannot. They know better. They need to stay home. You know?
Right.
And if and when you are approached by any law enforcement agent, don't have an attitude. Be nice. Be kind. You know, be educational. If they ask what's going on, you know, be honest and tell them. Hey,
be smart, be safe, and educate. You know, you're educate when someone pulls you over, you're also educating the person that's pulling you over. And
that's right.
You're letting them know that this is, letting them know why you use it.
That's right. And that you're complying and you're not trying to break rules, you're trying to play by the rules. And that's what cops want to know. That's their job. They've got this track out there. They're trying to keep everyone on track. They got all these mice in this tiny little, you know, maze, and they're trying to all keep us together. And if you go out there and say, well, you know, screw you and F you, I'm not going to be a part of your little game, then they're going to bust you. But if you get pulled over and you say, you know what, officer, this is what I understand about my medical card. This is what I have it for. This is medicine for me. What can I do to help you, kind of a thing. Be nice. You know, be smart, be safe, and educate. Seriously. And just don't cop an attitude. Really, it's not a good thing to do. Did you know?
I was going to say, the other thing, you know, is it's so important. It really is. It gives, having your card puts you in a position that you can fight for something later on if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Not having your card puts you in a place of you doing something illegal.
Right.
So you actually, not having the card makes you having it more illegal than not. And I know a lot of people think, oh, you're going to be put on a list. There's no list. This is a HIPAA. This is a medical record situation. This information is not to be shared with anyone else. And if anyone did share that information with anyone else, you would have quite a case on your hands.
You would.
And something that you would win.
Yes, because of something like this. There is an Arizona Revised Statute, Section 36-2813,
yes.
Discrimination prohibited. Here we go. I'm going to read this because we still have 4.5 minutes. No school or landlord may refuse to enroll or lease to and may not otherwise penalize a person solely for his statute or status as a cardholder, unless failing to do so would cause the school or landlord to lose a monetary or licensing-related benefit under federal law or regulations. Next, unless the failure to do so would cause an employer to lose a monetary or licensing-related benefit under federal law or regulation, an employer may not discriminate against the person in hiring, terminating, or imposing any term or condition of employment or otherwise penalize a person based upon either the person's status as a cardholder, a registered qualifying patient's positive drug test for marijuana components or metabolites, unless the patient used, possessed, or was impaired by a marijuana on the premises of the place or employment or during the hours of employment for the purposes of medical care, including organ transplants. A registered qualifying patient's authorized use of marijuana must be considered the equivalent of the use of any other medication under the direction of a physician and does not constitute the use of an illicit substance or otherwise disqualify a registered qualifying patient for medical care. And lastly, no person may be denied custody or visitation or parenting time with a minor, and there's no presumption of neglect or conduct allowed under this chapter, unless the person's behavior creates an unreasonable danger to the safety of the minor, as established by clear and convincing evidence. Seriously, people, look this up. ARS 36-2813. If you are discriminated in any way, shape, or form by having this card, there is your legal info. I love it. Got to get it.
Go get your card.
Yeah,
if you haven't gotten your card, you go get it.
You just go get it.
You go.
Oh, speaking of education, this Saturday is the second Saturday. It's AZ for Normal's meeting. They are a chapter of the Normal organization that helps reform of marijuana law. They're down at Ward 6, and you can look them up at AZ4Normal. It's AZ4NORML.org. And you can go to their meetings, get educated. They've got politicians down there. They've got law enforcement people that come and talk. They've got guest speakers, and they have information on how to get involved, how to be political, how to support cannabis, and the people that are doing the good work out there. So check it out. Come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. All of June, we've got 20% off Dixie Elixirs. And 20% off books. Speaking of education, go get some books. We've got some local hand-blown beautiful pipes. There's some that glow in the dark, and they change colors, so really cool. we've got some great new vaporizers in. If you want to give your lungs a break and do a little vaporizing, try something new. We have something called the PAX. It's just $249, and it's awesome. They're really beautiful, very well-made vaporizers, so check them out. A great product and a good way to give your lungs a little bit of a break, right?
Right. We also have Holy Smokes, which is an all-organic vaping tonic, and 15 different tonics to choose from, anywhere from helping you de-stress to maybe add a little bit of sexy time in your bedroom.
Woo!
So we have some an aphrodisiac line, a sleep line that'll help you actually get you a little more restful night's sleep.
And this is that.
We also have our playful line, which is a great one for hanging out with friends and just chit-chatting, passing around the vape pen. And these all can be used with your concentrate. So you can just add a couple, a drop or two to your waxes, dabs, shatter, crumble, any of those. Your Belle really enjoys it with her... You really enjoy it with your pipes, piece, and a little bit of hash oil in your vaporizer.
Yes. Wonderful.
All of these are really great and really just help you de-stress and kind of will they increase the strain characteristics and work synergistically with your cannabis.
They potentiate.
So you can get those down there. Potentiate.
We love those.
And we have wellness kits down at Tumbleweeds for $59.95 and the three-pack motifs for $24.95. So come on down and check those out.
Tell them what's in the kit, because for $59.95, you cannot beat that price. Tell them what's in.
You cannot. You get your lithium battery, which has you can get 300 charges, and it lasts about a little over a year, depending on how much you use it. Very good quality. It also comes with a Kanger tank, which is a Kanger tank EVOD, and these are the new ones out. They're medical grade glass and stainless steel, plexiglass and stainless steel, or sorry, not Pyrex glass and stainless steel.
There you go.
All being able to take apart and clean. And you also get two replaceable coils, as well as a charger and two of our most popular tonics, which is Monk's Prayer, Frankincense Ylang Ylang, and Orange, and Moonbeams, which is for sleep, and that is Lavender, Lemongrass, and Valerian Root. The Monk's Prayer is for de-stress. But
and
you get both of those.
Organic herbs and spices are wonderful, just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Check them out.
So come on down and get those.
Yeah, come on down and get some education and get some holy smokes. So we are, guess what?
Out of time.
Imagine that. We're at the end of our show. Thank you so much for joining us. And I want to just give another shout out to the Allen family and tell you guys that we love you and we're praying for you. And it's an honor being part of your family. We would also like to give a thank you to Blog Talk Radio, Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, Culture Magazine, AZMarijuana.com, and the Allen family, Ben, for letting us host our show here today. This has been awesome. Napa, California, beautiful weather. I might do a little wine tasting. I think I'm going to go cliche and do a little Napa wine tasting. So
that sounds like a blast.
It is. It's going to be. I wish you were here. Stay tuned for
more. I wish I was there, too.
Cannabis Kid, big hugs to you. Love you. Have a wonderful
day.
Yes.
You too.
Thank you so much. And as always, remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
See you guys next week.
Woo-hoo.
Bye.
Bye.